This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وأحسن الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him. We seek His aid and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in a state of surrender and submission to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the words of Allah. And the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. It was narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, and it was also narrated from Ibn Abbas. It is attributed to be one of the words or the statements of Ibn Mas'ud himself. It's not traced back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال إن العبد لا يشرف لأمر من أمور الدنيا من تجارة أو رياسة أو إمارة. فيطلع الله عليه من فوق سبع سماوات فيقول يا ملائكتي اصرفوا هذا عن عبدي فإني إن قيضته له أدخلته النار. فيصبح يتهم جيرانه قد سبقني هذا إلى ذاك. That a person embarks on a project from this dunya. It's either a business, work, some leadership position. And Allah sees him, because Allah sees his servants and he watches them. He knows them inside out all the time. So Allah sees him from above the heavens. And Allah says, my angels, keep him away from this. Keep him away from this project, from this business, from this prophet, from this position of leadership. Because if I give it to him, I know it will lead him to the hellfire. So the person wakes up and he sees that his plan has been ruined. So he has suspicion. He blames others for the failure of his idea. He has a reason. He has a practical, he attributes the reason why his business or his plan failed to something that probably seems to have causality. But we are looking here at the ultimate cause, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the person feels bad for himself, because in another narration, another version of this narration, it says that he wakes up feeling miserable about himself, that he lost on this prophet. When the reality of the situation is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. One of the influencers of this Muslim ummah about 2 generations ago, about 100 years ago, a writer, a thinker, and a strong da'iyah, Al-Ustadh Ali Tantawi, rahimahullah, who wrote many influential books. He mentions a story that pretty much all of us heard a version of it, which was a reality, a real story that happened to one of his friends, his personal friends. He said he was traveling by plane to another country, and he got delayed. He was delayed before catching his flight. And he missed his flight. And it was an important appointment that he had. So he felt so bad that he couldn't catch his appointment. And soon after, minutes later, the news arrived that the plane crashed. And how often in life, something seems to be attractive. Something that we identify as good. And ideally, it's good. A profit, a benefit, an advantage. Something that is positive in this life. And we grow attached to it. And we seek it. And we take the necessary means to arrive at that. Be it a business, be it a job, an exam that we want to pass, a woman that you want to marry, or for a woman, a husband, a man that she wants to marry, a trip you want to make, a deal you want to get, and seemingly it's good for you, and you have all the right to pursue it, if it's halal and it's good. But in the ultimate scheme of things, only Allah knows how things are going to turn out to be. Sometimes a prophet can spoil you and destroy you. Sometimes you marry the woman that you love, she ruins your life and your religion. Sometimes a woman marries the man that she loves, and he crushes her heart. Life is bigger than simple dynamics. And that's what we deal with. And that's why the believers have this advantage. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set forth from Medina with his companions to go and make Umrah, and they reached the borders of Mecca, the Meccans refused. And they sent Suhail ibn Amr to negotiate with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a deal that he goes back to Medina, he doesn't make Umrah this year, because they were concerned for their reputation among the Arabs. They didn't want the Arabs to say Muhammad forced his way into Mecca. So they negotiated a truce. And prior to that, the Muslims were not safe. There were always some skirmishes between the Muslims and the people of Quraysh. At any time, Muslims could be attacked or jumped on in Medina. It was an open warfare. So Quraysh offered the Prophet ﷺ in exchange of going back to Medina that they would give him safety, a truce. We're not going to attack you. We're not going to be any threat to you. And we have conditions. You have to go back. And then anyone. So there were some conditions, some articles in the agreement that seemed to be unfair to the Muslims. And yes, when you look at them in isolation individually, they would seem to be unfair. And there would be a disadvantage to the Muslims. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ, being guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by divine wisdom, and by the insight that Allah gave him, he could see the bigger picture. Sometimes if you look locally, you miss out on the bigger picture and your judgment is deficient. So the condition said, if someone wants to leave Muhammad ﷺ, one of the Muslims, and wants to join the camp of Quraysh and leave Islam, he can do that and go and join Quraysh. But if someone wants to leave Quraysh and become Muslim and join the camp of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has to return him to Quraysh, a believer. And when they were signing the deal, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed. Before signing the deal, finalizing it, the son of Suhail ibn Amr himself, who had been kept captive by his brother, by his father, Abu Jandal, and he was tortured by his father, he had managed to escape and make it to that point, to the outskirts of Mecca. And he threw himself among the Muslims, save me, help me, these people have been torturing me because I became a Muslim. So Suhail ibn Amr watches the scene just before signing the contract. He says, the contract applies now to this person, his son. The Prophet ﷺ said, we haven't signed the deal yet. So let him go. And then the deal starts. He says, no. Either it applies on him or forget about the deal. The Prophet ﷺ said, sign the deal. It applies to him as well. Muslims were heartbroken. But you're talking about the Prophet ﷺ, who is guided by divine wisdom and knowledge. What seemed to be a disadvantage, even some of the companions were upset with this. Some of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, ya Rasulallah, anu'ti daniyata fi deenina? Should we be the lower hand in the agreement when Allah has given us honor with Islam? Allah has put us uppermost with Islam. We put ourselves down with such a condition? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I know what I'm doing. And I'm acting on guidance from Allah. And subhanAllah, from this point on, Muslim da'wah expanded. It exploded in the Arabian Peninsula. The energy that was consumed in defending Medina and being vigilant and on guard all the time now was freed to reach out to the Arab tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. Speak to them about Islam. Invite them to Islam. Thousands flocked into Islam. And the Muslim Ummah grew like never before. And it became a considerable power. And most likely power number one. The superpower in the Arabian Peninsula. Because of that agreement that seemed to be what? Unfair. And Allah says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. How often, how likely you are to dislike something when it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ. And how often, how likely it is that you would love something and get attached to it when it is harmful to you. It's not good for you. It's bad for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows, but you do not know. Allah is the one who knows. What you know is little. So this ties in with a previous khutbah where we said the Prophet ﷺ advised us in the hadith, احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله ولا تعجز. Be keen and diligent in seeking the things that are good for you. And we will come today to use the words of the Prophet to understand this phrase or this clause, what is beneficial for you, understand it from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the way, says in a hadith, which is collected by Tirmidhi and it's Hassan, إِذَا أُعْطِيَ أَهْلُ الْبَلَاءِ الثَّوَابَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَتَمَنَّى أَهْلُ الْعَافِيَةِ أَنْ لَوْ قُرِّضَتْ جُلُودُهُمْ بِالْمَقَارِيضِ فِي الدُّنْيَا لِمَا يَرَوْنَ مِنْ حُسْنِي الثواب. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. That on the day of judgment, when the people who led an easy life, they led an easy life, they did not go through so much hardship, they were not tortured, they did not go through the pain in this life, so that they had an easy ride in this world. When they see the reward that is given to the people who went through trials in the world, they would wish that throughout their life their skin was cut with pliers all the time, wishing for the reward that was given for the people who were tested. And the Prophet ﷺ says in another hadith, إِنَّ عِظَمَ الْجَزَاءِ مَعَ عِظَمِ الْبَلَاءِ. The greater the test and the pain, the greater the reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah knows, and you do not know. That's the bottom line. So when you are tested, when you are under hardship, whether you have a financial problem, or a family situation, or a psychological issue, or a social problem, or things are just not working out in your life, don't just say, why me? Don't turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, why me? Why did you give so-and-so these things, but you haven't given them to me? Allah knows how to deal with you. Sometimes what you dislike is in your best interest if Allah brings it into your life. But reaping the fruits is contingent. It stands on with one condition, that you submit to Allah and you trust His wisdom. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, مَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِطَ فَلَهُ السُّخْطِ. He who is pleased and content with the qada and the qadr of Allah, the decree of Allah, then he will get what? The contentment of Allah. Allah will be pleased with him. And then Allah will reward him. And Allah will make it up for him or her. But those who are upset with the qadr of Allah, what Allah brings into their life, they will only get what? The displeasure of Allah, the wrath of Allah. Some words for us to ponder on. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. So how do we go about dealing with life? Does this mean we don't know where good is or where evil is? So we just blind and we let the qadar of Allah, we let the events of life, throw us left and right? We already dealt with the hadith previously of the Prophet ﷺ where he says, Be diligent. Be diligent. Be assertive in seeking what is good for you. Because that's what Allah gave you reason. This is what Allah gave you, an intellect that you can use to judge things. But you have to recognize two levels of existence or two levels of reality. There is the reality, the perceived reality, your judgment, how things seem to you. You have to work on this. You have to make your decisions in life based on this. What is a good way of life? What is a good decision? What seems to be a good business idea? What seems to be a good job? Who seems to be a good wife, or who seems to be a good husband? What seems to be a good school for my kids, or a good way to educate my kids? You have to make a wise and informed judgment. Use your mind. But recognize this judgment is limited, because this is the individual meaning of something. It could be good, but there is always a contextual meaning. What is essentially good in a certain context could be bad. And that's why you don't know everything about the context. So you use your best judgment. Then you ask Allah to guide you through the ups and downs of life, through the mayhem that we call life. Because there is so much about life that we don't know. We don't know. We are so proud of what we know and we think we know. But much of what happens around us, much of reality is hidden from us. So the Prophet ﷺ taught us the solution to this. And here we come to the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, as collected by Imam al-Bukhari, which is an etiquette that all Muslims should really learn and stick to. قَالَ جَابِرْ كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يُعَلِّمُنَا الْإِسْتِخَارَةَ فِي الْأُمُورِ كُلِّهَا كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to teach us istikhara in all our affairs, just as he would teach us the surahs of the Quran. قَالَ إِذَا هَمَّ أَحَدُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَلْيَرْكَعْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ مِنْ غَيْرِ الْفَرِيضَةِ. When one of you embarks on something, when you have studied something and you have found, you have settled on a course of action, that's the best way to go about these things. That's the best decision. I'm about to engage in it or embark on it. Now that's the time. You've done your homework. Now turn to Allah to guide you through the bigger context that you don't see. So you pray two rak'ah outside of the fariḍah, none of the five daily prayers. You volunteer two rak'ah. And then after you finish the two rak'ah, you turn to Allah and you make this dua. And look at the beautiful words and the belief that is behind these words. The state of heart that is behind these words, that exudes with faith and iman and trust. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik. O Allah, I am seeking you to choose for me. I'm asking you to choose for me with your knowledge. Knowledge of Allah, not my knowledge. That is limited. Inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik. Wa astaqdiruka biqudratik. And I seek power through your might. Because I don't have might. I don't have power. I don't have strength. I'm dependent on you, so I call on your might and your power. وَأَسْتَقْدِرُكَ بِقُدْرَتِكَ وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ. And I ask you from the great bounty and the great treasures that you have. And Allah is the rich and abundant, and we are the ones who are poor. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Oh humans, you are in need. You have nothing. You have nothing. And Allah is the one who is sufficient and rich. You are dependent on Allah in everything. Your breath, every breath you take, you are dependent on Allah for it. Every heartbeat, you get it from Allah. Your heart doesn't beat by itself. Allah makes it beat. So you are dependent on Allah in everything. Embrace that truth. It makes you humble. And it helps you tap into a power that Allah only gives to the believers. وَأَسْأَلُكَ مِنْ فَضْلِكَ الْعَظِيمِ فَإِنَّكَ تَقْدِرُ وَلَا أَقْدِرُ. You are the one who is able.
You are the one who has power, and I am unable. I don't have power. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ And you know and I don't know. You are the one who truly knows. What I know is very little, and a lot of it is corrupted. So I call on your knowledge. وَتَعْلَمُ وَلَا أَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ You are the one who knows very well matters of the unseen. And matters of the unseen are not only matters of the akhirah or matters after death. The world that we live in, there are so many hidden realities from us, even within ourselves. Even in our own affairs, there are so many things. What we don't know about our affairs is greater than what we know. That's why we need Allah. وَأَنْتَ عَلَّامُ الْغُيُوبِ اللَّهُمَّ إِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ Oh Allah, if you know that this matter, or this affair, or this project, or this business, or this marriage, or this school, or this test, خَيْرٌ لِي فِي دِينِي وَمَعَاشِي وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي أَوْ قَالَ عَاجِلِ أَمْرِهِ وَآجِلِ أَمْرِي وَآجِلِهِ If you know that this thing is good for me in my religion, my relationship with you, my chances of entering paradise, this is what good means. Remember we said, the Prophet said, be diligent to get what's good. Here he defines it. What's good, if this thing is good for me in my religion, in my relationship with Allah, in my heart's love and devotion to Allah, if that's good for me in my religion, وَمَعَاشِي and my livelihood, my affairs, وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي and the final end and consequences of my situation. You're looking at not only short term, but long term as well. وَعَاقِبَةِ أَمْرِي فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ لِي وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ Will this thing for me into existence? Bring it into existence, O Allah. فَقْدُرْهُ لِي وَيَسِّرْهُ And make it easy for me. Bring it easily. Facilitate it for me. And also increase it in blessings and goodness. وَبَارِكْ لِي فِيهِ وَإِنْ كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرَ شَرٌّ لِي فِيهِ ديني ومعاشي وعاقبة أمري أو قال عاجل أمري وأجله فاصرفه عني واصرفني عنه واقدر لي الخير حيث كان ثم أرضني به And if you know that this affair or this thing is not good for me, is bad for me, is evil for me, in my religion, that's aspect number one, dimension number one, my religion, my relationship with Allah, my heart, my righteousness, وَمَعَاشِي and the affairs of my life, my conditions, and the final end of how this is going to turn out to be. What is the long-term consequences of this? If it's bad in any of those, if it's bad in those three dimensions, turn me away from it, turn it away from me, and give me something better. And then make me content with your choice. So much reliance on Allah. So much trust in Allah. Because when you trust your own knowledge and your own decision making, you are bound to fail. You might say, some people, they have their own ways of doing things and they go about a business or a project and it works out and they seem to have control over everything. What about their heart? What about their family? What about their morality? You can't get the balance without Allah. And without balance, your life is going to be against you. You might succeed in one area, but you will destroy and ruin other areas. So learn this dua and make this dua with all of your affairs, and Allah will guide you. Allah will guide you, gently guide you, and your affairs will be blessed. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان. اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في غزة وفي فلسطين والشام والسودان. وفي كل بلاد الأرض اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا يا قوي يا عزيز
بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. And finally, just a reminder of what our brother Muhammad Hassan said, we're approaching the end of the year, speak to your accountant and see how you can donate, because the money is already taken from that, percentages will already be taken away from your bank account. You can, there, this is the procedure, and that's why you need to speak to your accountant. Ask them about the maximum amount of donations that I can do. And this is what the government stipulates. You can deduct from your taxes. Instead of giving the taxes back to the tax department, you give it to the masjid and it will be deducted from what you owe the government of taxes. So that's an opportunity for us, inshallah, to get good and support the masjid bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. May Allah accept from all of us. وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.